and platinum bullion. Paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The man who President Obama released five Islamic terrorists to get back from the Taliban is pleading guilty to charges of desertion and misbehavior. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl pleading guilty today. Retired Army Sergeant Jordan Vaughn, who helped in the search for Bergdahl and felt insulted when he was brought back to the United States, says he feels some vindication today.
Felt like a huge insult when he came back and was briefly paraded as a hero. It does feel like a lot of vindication to have him actually admit that what he did was wrong and he was at fault.
The deaths of six soldiers were tied to the hunt for Bergdahl. New York's Islamic terrorist Chelsea Bomber found guilty on all counts. Ahmad Khan Rahimi had been charged with setting off a bomb in the Chelsea neighborhood in Manhattan in 2016 that injured 30 people. The 29-year-old faces a mandatory life sentence. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Money causes stress and uneasiness in our closest relationships, according to Bank of America's new Friends Again report. In fact, more than 50% of the population has seen a friendship end over money. And it is not always a lot of money that will cause a relationship rift. Nearly 40% of consumers say they would end a friendship over $100 or less. But there are ways we can salvage a relationship before it goes south over an IOU. Dr. Melanie Ross Mills, relationship expert.
Talking about money doesn't always have to be awkward. If you follow some simple tips, having an honest conversation is the best way to avoid these issues. Coordinate shared expenses in advance to avoid unexpected spending. Communicate openly with your friends about money owed and use mobile apps like the Bank of America app for a simple way to send, request, and receive money from friends, no matter where they bank.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/friendsagain.
U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley says the United States is not going to beg North Korea to get involved with negotiations on their nuclear program. Haley appeared on ABC this week.
We're not going to beg them to come to the negotiating table. We're not going to try and win them over with incentives and things like that. We need them to stop nuclear testing. And we need that to stop right away. And until then, until they show a willingness to try and be a good international actor, no, there's no conversation.
Another death being reported in connection with the Northern California wildfires. Cal Fire issued a statement that reveals a private water tender driver on the Nuns Fire died this morning when his truck rolled in Napa County. The driver became the 41st victim so far associated with the fire. About 11,000 firefighters are battling 14 major blazes across the state. More than 213,000 acres and about 5,700 structures have been destroyed. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with the living herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer. Participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
A Mississippi school is pulling the classic novel To Kill a Mockingbird because some students are uncomfortable with it. Here's more on the story from Mark Mayfield.
The Sun-Herald newspaper reports that the Biloxi School District has decided to pull Harper Lee's 1960 book from the 8th grade curriculum because some of the language in the book made students uncomfortable. The Pulitzer Prize-winning tale of racial inequality in the South during the 1930s contains racial slurs. The school board vice president says they received complaints about the book's language and they will use another book to teach a similar lesson.
President Trump getting ready for a trip through Asia. Correspondent Chris Barnes has a preview.
The president will visit Japan, South Korea, China, Vietnam, and the Philippines, along with a stop in Hawaii. The White House says the trip is to underscore the president's commitment to longstanding U.S. alliances and partnerships. During the trip, the president will attend a summit between the United States and the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, and he'll meet with the president of the Philippines, an often controversial figure himself. I'm Chris Barnes.
Federal bribery charges against Democratic U.S. Senator Bob Menendez will not be dropped. That's what a judge ruled today after considering arguments from Menendez's lawyers regarding the change in the definition of bribery. The U.S. Supreme Court recently narrowed the definition of bribery following a separate public corruption trial of Virginia's former governor last year. Menendez, a New Jersey Democrat, is accused of accepting gifts from a Florida doctor. USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. In 1 second, I will give you the weather as soon as I get it up on the board here. Okay, tonight is going to be mostly clear with a low around 35, north winds 6 to 14 miles per hour. Tuesday, areas of frost before 9 a.m. Otherwise, sunny with a high near 62, west winds around 6 miles an hour. Tuesday night, clear with a low around 38, calm winds. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 69. Calm winds becoming southwest 5 to 7 miles an hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night it'll be clear with a low around 43. Thursday sunny with a high near 71. Thursday night mostly clear and looks like it's supposed to be mostly sunny the rest of the week, right on through Sunday, they say. But then again, they said today was supposed to be sunny all day and it's been cloudy here all day except for now. The sun just came out. We will be right back with the Medical Center Show in just a moment.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Medical Center Show, the Hunterdon Medical Center Show. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we are very privileged today to have with us Lisa Razumovich. Did I say it right? She's shaking her head.
Perfect.
Okay, I said it right. That's because she gave me a card and spelled it out in phenetics for me. But she knows I would have murdered it if I didn't have that. So, but well, Lisa, welcome.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. I ask everybody, whether it's on my show before that I do this, the Medical Mental Health Matters show or the Medical Center show. Mm-hmm. How did you get in this line of work? I mean, you know, I know you were a nurse before and now you're in the infection, but how did you get into this?
So back when I was looking into what I wanted to be when I grew up, looking at different colleges and schools, nursing was something that always just stuck out. Something about the field of nursing, the opportunities, the benefits, the, you know, the feeling of helping somebody. That mm-hmm. was something that I always wanted to do. So went into nursing, fell in love with it as much as I thought I would. Have been working at Hunterdon Medical Center for about 15 years now.
Wow.
So I've been a nurse for 15 years, the last seven in the infection prevention department.
Okay. I'm glad you knew what you wanted to do. I thought you knew what you wanted to do. I got out of high school when I was 17 and joined the service.
Well, it was, I know that the field of nursing was something that intrigued me, but not quite what niche, you know, what part of nursing.
Right.
And I originally thought that I wanted to just be a nurse that took care of babies, mm-hmm. you know, the happiest, what you think is the happiest time. And once I got into nursing, I found that I really liked working with adults, and young adults all the way up to older adults. So I did that bedside nursing for 7 years. And it's hard days, but also great, amazing days.
Yeah, there's some days I would imagine you come away saying, boy, I'm glad I did that, or, you know, to help somebody. You know? I know that. People, the teachers used to tell me, Larry, you could do so much better. Why don't you, try? I hated school.
Yeah.
I hated it. So when I got out, I just, I graduated barely. But I did get my diploma. So, and then I went in the service. And after that, we got married my last year in the service. And, to my high school sweetheart,
Aww.
So, and we've been married ever since. Well, it'll be 53 years in January. So,
Wow. Yeah,
it's been quite a haul. You know,
I've been married for 14 years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well,
that's long.
I say to people that if they canonize saints in Lutheranism, my wife would be a saint for putting up with me for all those years, but. But I'm lucky they don't canonize saints and Lutherans. But anyway, you're the director of infection prevention.
Correct.
Okay. What is infection prevention detail?
It's
if
a
I
lot.
Can ask. Okay.
It's a lot.
You can say a lot. It's all right. We got an hour.
Yeah. There's many different aspects of it. Not only do we want to make sure that all of our staff members, all the employees that work at Hunterdon Healthcare stay healthy while taking care of sick patients, we also focus on making sure that our patients stay healthy when they're with us. Whether that's while they're a patient in the hospital, mm-hmm. we don't want them to develop any infections when they're in our care, or whether it's after they leave the hospital and they're back in their home environment and we have our home care team taking care of them. We really focus on keeping our patients healthy, our staff healthy, and then in turn, our community healthy.
And by the same token, as we mentioned before we were on the air, that I said that I volunteer at the hospital, mm-hmm. and I volunteer at by the main gate there, by the main doors. And a lot of times people come in because they have to see a doctor, or they have mm-hmm. They have to have radiology done, or they have to have, tests done or whatever. And, you wonder, some of them come in and they don't look good at all. And the hospital has enough germs, on its own. It's true. They do. I mean, because I know in volunteering, they say if you're even slightly, ill, don't come in.
Absolutely.
And that makes sense.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you wonder, or at least I do anyway, with my diverted mind, I wonder, some of the people that's coming in, they don't look all that healthy.
Yeah.
You know.
So there's different things that we have in place. And one of the big things is just recognizing, like you just mentioned, and then helping to educate. So it's not just the nurses and the doctor's job to make sure that they're doing everything right, but it's also our patients' responsibility to make sure that they're speaking up for themselves.
Right.
So reminding people that are taking care of them to clean their hands if they haven't seen them do that, and our visitors as well. So we try and post those hand sanitizers mm-hmm. throughout the facility.
Right.
If there's somebody coming in for a chest x-ray and they're coughing, we have the people sitting at the front desk have a box of masks so that those frontline healthcare workers can give the mask to the visitor to put on
right.
so that while they're coughing, they're
containing the
mask.
Cough.
So there are certain times where patients come into the hospital and they are sick with something that is contagious, and that's where it's all of our jobs to speak up and say, oh, there's a hand sanitizer over here to clean your hands, here's a mask, try and sit away from people so that we're not spreading germs, and then being aware yourself. So
right.
if you are there healthy, making sure you're washing your hands frequently, making sure that you're covering your cough, that you're keeping that distance.
Mm-hmm.
So there are several steps that we can take to make sure that we stay healthy.
Right. I would imagine how the hospital has grown over the years, mm-hmm. That it's very difficult to prevent some of these infections from spreading.
Yeah, it's... But it's not impossible.
I didn't say it was impossible,
yeah.
but I just said
yeah.
it was difficult.
Yeah, you're
you know?
Right, because the thing is there are a lot of germs out there,
yeah.
and you can't see germs.
Right.
You know,
so,
some days I wish you could, because people
be a lot easier if you could.
Yeah, people would be much more likely to be covering that cough and to be washing their hands more frequently. So you can't see the germs, but in the back of our minds, we all know that they're there. So if we take our standard precautions, our standard steps, there are protocols, there are things in place that prevent the spread of infections. So zero is possible, and that is our goal at Hunterdon, to
right.
achieve zero infections.
How close are you?
Yeah, we're close. I mean, we've hit and sustained zero. There's such a wide assortment of different diseases. Like when we talk about flu, because flu season's coming right around the corner, at Hunterdon Healthcare, we took steps years ago, and we have a mandatory flu vaccine program.
I know.
Yeah, so every single healthcare worker that works throughout Hunterdon Healthcare, nurses, doctors, the lab person that's coming in to draw your blood work, the person that's coming to transport, we require all of us to get the flu vaccine every year.
Volunteers,
absolutely. So that's one step that we take every year to achieve zero flu being transmitted from a healthcare worker to a patient, because we know that the vaccine works.
I know someone who works at the hospital, not to mention names or anything, or mm-hmm. you know, position.
Yeah.
But she got a flu shot, and she broke out in all sorts of rash and different skin color changed, and went to the doctor, and the doctor said it was a result of the flu shot, that it's, you know, very rare, but it happened. And I understand that this year, or they did a different flu shot than they had done previously. I don't know how true that is.
Well, every year the flu vaccine can be a little different, because
okay.
we make the flu vaccine based on what flu strains are circulating.
Okay.
So the flu starts in other countries. So right now I think it's in Australia. So we look to see what are other people, what strains of flu are other people getting in the other parts of the world.
Okay.
And then the flu vaccines are made to prevent the flu, those strains.
Right, right.
So if the strain changes, then the vaccine changes. But the main, you know, the ingredients are the same, just the strain of flu is different. Do you know if that person ever had gotten the flu vaccine before?
Yeah.
And had no reactions
right.
at all.
It was this particular
yeah,
one.
That this year?
This year. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago.
You know, you never know how you're going to react to a new medication.
Right.
So that's why it's always important that it's given by a healthcare provider that's able to identify if somebody's having an allergic reaction. But like you had mentioned, the side effects of the flu vaccine, even this year so far from what they've said, the side effects are very rare. And the benefits of the flu vaccine far outweigh.
Oh, I'm not disputing that at all. I mean, you know, the benefits of the vaccine is, you know, awesome from previous years.
Yeah, the flu vaccine not only prevents you from getting the flu, which obviously that sounds like it should happen, but the studies show also that, of course, it's not 100%. There's nothing that's 100%, right? But the people that get the flu vaccine that end up getting the flu, it's much milder. So it's a shorter illness. They're not as sick. They're less likely to need hospital care or to need potentially more critical care.
Right.
Flu vaccine actually prevents pneumonia as well. Again, the benefits, just we keep finding more and more benefits.
Well, everybody really should get a vaccine. It, not just because they work in the hospital or volunteer in the hospital. I mean, you know, your wife, your husband, whatever, they should get it.
Yeah.
Also,
everybody
and, you know,
over the age of 6 months old should get the flu vaccine every single year. You know, in the past, it used to be a thought that, well, only people that are really young or really old, they're the ones that get the flu and get really sick. But we know that that's not the case. We've definitely seen young, healthy adults get the flu and have those awful outcomes, including not only just needing to be in the hospital, but unfortunately, every year, people die from the flu as well. And you never know if it's going to be you. Even if you are healthy, you take care of yourself, sometimes you just get something like the flu and it knocks you out.
Right.
Which is, you know, we talk about the flu vaccine every year, but there's also all those other vaccines that are so important as well.
Sure.
You know, measles, the vaccine against pertussis and tetanus. And all those are designed to keep us healthy as we go through life. You just never know what you're going to be exposed to.
Exactly. And it just, there was an article, I don't know, on the internet or whatever, recently about a woman who was, wouldn't allow her son to get vaccinated. And it just seems to me that, you know, it doesn't make sense not to have your child vaccinated. You know, if you don't want to do it, that's your choice. But your child, they're more apt to get something because of where they're hanging around with their buddies or other kids or school or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's important to make sure that you're making the most educated decision for you and your family. And unfortunately, there are some people out there in the world that have decided to publish completely false information about vaccines. Specifically, the one I'm thinking about is related to the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. And so unfortunately, what that's led to is there are people that question the vaccine safety and say, well, we don't really have measles anymore. Why do I need to get the vaccine to my child? We don't see measles. But what people need to understand is measles used to be eradicated here in the United States. It was gone. And now, because there are more people that aren't getting those vaccines and aren't fully vaccinated, diseases like measles we do see in New Jersey. Every year, we have an outbreak of measles in some part of New Jersey, along with all the other states. I mean, California, Disney, we heard a big one a couple years ago.
Absolutely.
So it is important that people take the time to get the facts, to understand that things
right.
like vaccines do work. They do prevent those vaccine-preventable diseases that are still out there.
Right. What should a person do to protect themselves?
So overall, it's important. We all learned how to wash our hands way back when, even if you don't remember learning about it. But really, hand hygiene is the best way to prevent infections.
Okay.
And when you're out in public, it's important that you practice frequent hand hygiene. Now, that doesn't mean that you're walking around pouring the alcohol products all over your hands all day long. But a lot of times people ask about, well, when I go to the supermarket, when should I clean my hands? What should I use? If you are by running water, you should use soap and water. That's the best.
Right.
If you're not by any running water and your hands get dirty, then those alcohol products like Purell or some of those other brands, that's a great product to use as well. So you definitely want to always clean your hands after you use the bathroom.
Oh, we definitely all
know that.
I got to tell you how many times you see
people. I know, you're sitting there shaking your head. I know. I know.
And it just, ironically enough, my granddaughter is working at this place, and we were having a big family dinner. And after the dinner, she says, I got to ask a question. I said, okay, Sam, what's your question? She says, does everybody around here wash their hands after going to the bathroom? I said, that's a hell of a question. You know, she says, well, she says, I've seen people at work not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, it just creeps me out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I says, I can understand that. I says, you know, it's just, you wonder, you know, that's something that was taught to you as a little kid.
I know. And so some people just don't understand that it does work. They just, you know, it's, they don't think about it. So for you, if you want to keep yourself healthy, then it's always washing your hands after you use the bathroom and always washing your hands before you eat. Because if you touch your food and then put your food in your mouth and your hands are dirty, you're potentially putting those germs right in there. So those are key times. If you sneeze into your hand, then of course you want to clean your hands to prevent that from spreading.
Right.
So hand hygiene, best. If you're feeling under the weather, if your immune system's weak, because maybe you have a condition where you have a weak immune system, it's important during those high flu seasons or when there's a lot of illness, avoid crowds. So you don't want to put yourself in a crowded area where there's a lot of people and potentially they're sick. And then like we just spent a lot of time talking, vaccines, I mean, they work. We know that they work. There's enough science to prove time and time again. So.
And if you're a patient.
Yeah.
Or even if you're not, if you're just there for radiology, a test or something.
Yeah, for a test of some sort.
And you see a doctor or a nurse or somebody not wash their hands or whatever before and after they deal with your circumstance, what should they do?
Oh, please speak up. We have alcohol hand sanitizer products mounted everywhere throughout the hospital. We have them inside our patient rooms. We also have them outside our patient rooms.
Right.
So if you're a patient and you see somebody walk into your room and you didn't see them clean your hands, it's important for you to speak up for yourself. As a patient, protect yourself. Know that it's your right to protect yourself. And just say something simple. I didn't see you clean your hands. You might have the healthcare provider say, oh, I actually just was using the hand sanitizer in the hallway as I was coming in, and, you know, and then you can be rest assured. But if you haven't and you want to watch, please ask. Just speak up and say something. We remind all of our healthcare workers that it's all of our jobs, the patients, the visitors, the healthcare workers, to speak up to one another to make sure that we are keeping everyone safe.
Do you think that it might tick somebody off?
I think if it is said in a way just, hey, I just want to make sure that you clean your hands, then no, absolutely okay. not. You know, we all want to be able to talk to one another, and if we talk to one another in a respectful way, then no, it shouldn't make anybody angry.
What was I going to say? Oh, there are protocols that you have in place to protect patients from the spread of infection and so on and so forth. What are some of those protocols?
Well, we have our signs everywhere that remind us to wash in, wash out.
Right.
Like I said, hand hygiene, the number one way to prevent the spread of infections. During our flu season, we also have that mandatory flu vaccine that we have to get. And we post more things like masks so that if a patient is coughing when they're being transported in the hallway, then we have the patients wear masks. We also have our gloves that we use. We have special gowns that we wear sometimes in different kinds of rooms. And cleaning our rooms is really important as well. We want to make sure that every hospital room is cleaned every single day. We use cleaning products that kill all those germs on the surfaces. We have wipes throughout all of our patient rooms so that as we use our stethoscope, as we use a blood pressure cuff, that we have those wipes right there to make sure that we clean those pieces of equipment
right.
after every time that we use them.
Now, you say you clean the rooms. Is that when the patient is out, you clean it, or when they're in there?
Yeah, while the patients are in the room, there's a daily cleaning schedule every single day. So our environmental service team will go into every patient room, wipe down high-touch surfaces, so the bed rails, the stands, to clean the bathrooms every day. If
okay.
the patient's in the room, they'll do it while the patient's in the room. And if the patient's out at a test, then they try and get in there real fast so that we don't bother the
right.
patients as they're trying
right.
to heal. And then after that patient is discharged home and leaves that room, the environmental service team, they go into the room and they do everything. They clean everything. They remove all the items. They throw out everything that belonged to the first person. They clean and sanitize everything, and then they make it fresh for the next patient that's coming in.
Is there some kind of a guideline that hospitals follow for this? And, you know, if so, where does the medical center fit in this guideline?
Yeah, there are definitely guidelines. We base everything that we do on evidence and on guidelines from organizations like the CDC, Centers
okay.
for Disease Control and Prevention.
Mm-hmm.
So the CDC has guidelines for every type of infection that you could think of. And so they tell us, if you have a patient with this disease, this is what you need to do when you go into the room. This is what you need to wear. This is what you need to clean the room with if it's something special.
Right.
The CDC and the FDA also give us list of cleaning products that work. Because you could wipe down a surface, but if you're using a chemical that doesn't kill the types of
right.
germs we see, then there's really no point. So, yeah, we base all of our policies and procedures on evidence from groups like the CDC.
Okay. About 3-4 weeks ago, for about 6 weeks prior to that, in the main lobby,
mm-hmm.
there was a machine
yeah.
called a robot.
Yeah, a robot.
And the robot, I got to tell you, was noisy as all get out and was, after a couple of weeks, was just a pain, you know.
But it had that pretty purple light.
Oh, yeah. And we turned the sound off sometimes on it because it was just
yeah.
too distracting.
Yeah.
But anyway, people would come in and say, oh, what is that? You know, and they'd always ask me, oh, what is that? And I'd have to tell them what it is and so on and so forth. And I understand that now it is in use.
It is in use. We've actually been using it. The one that was in the lobby was just a
model, I
yeah,
guess. Yeah,
it was just
right.
a model.
Right.
It didn't really do anything besides look nice.
Make noise. give me a headache.
Yeah, so we've actually had our one robot in use since the end of June.
Okay.
We brought it in. We did all the training because it required some training of our healthcare workers that were using it. And then we now, in our ICU, our intensive care unit, every time a patient is discharged, our environmental service team goes in and wipes everything down with that chemical.
Right.
And then they put the robot in the room. And they put it on one side of the room, and they turn it on for 5 minutes. And then they move it to the other side of the room, and they turn it on for another 5 minutes. What that robot does is the top lifts up, all fancy. It's loud.
It is that.
And there are UV ultraviolet light bulbs inside the robot. Mm-hmm. So when the top comes up and the light bulbs turn on, it zaps all the surfaces in the room with this ultraviolet light. Ultraviolet light does a lot of things, very complex, science-y type stuff. But ultimately what it does is it kills any germ that's on any of the surfaces in the room just by putting the light on it.
Now, is that any germ or specific germs?
Any germ. It's been used for bacteria, for viruses, for spores, which are, it's basically types of germs that are able to create a barrier around it, making it stronger, kind of like an armor.
Right.
This UV light can penetrate right through that spore, right through the outer coating, and kill any germ that it would touch. So we immediately saw success. Like I said, we started using it in June, and in the month of July, we hit our zero. Month of September, again, we saw that zero. Such successes already that we've already purchased our second robot after just 3 months of using it. So the second robot's coming around Halloween.
It's going to have a mask on, right?
No mask. But that second robot, we're now going to be using that on a different nursing unit in the hospital. And our goal is to ultimately have the robot go in and clean every single patient room in the hospital after every discharge. We're also using the robot in our operating rooms. Every night, the staff clean all of the operating rooms, and then they put the robot in there for a little bit longer because our operating rooms are bigger. And every night that robot hits every single OR room to, again, zap all the surfaces and to kill all the germs in there.
Now, does it just shoot the light out, or does it go around? Does it move like?
So the way that the light bulbs are put in there, just by the top raising up, the light is actually shining on all the surfaces.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to turn, because as soon as that top comes up, there's light bulbs facing all directions.
Okay.
And so our robot, it's neat. We get to name our robots. And so we had a contest. We had our employees put in their vote. And the name that was actually picked is very meaningful to us at Hunterdon Healthcare, not only because it's our first robot that we get to name for environmental service, but the robot's name is Marita, and it's named after Marita Nash, who was our director of environmental services for a very, very long time. She instituted many different protocols and policies to make the environment that much better, that much safer, cleaner for our patients. And she just recently retired earlier this year. So Marita, it's an acronym, and it stands for Mobile Antimicrobial Robotic Infection Treatment Aid. So Marita. So
that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it was pretty neat.
What are you going to name the second one?
Oh, I don't know yet. I don't know yet. We had such great
Georgia.
Yeah. We had such great name suggestions from the first time around. So we'll have to talk about it and see what staff want to do. Maybe we'll just pull a name from the votes
from
that
the vote that was
had
in there from before, right?
Yeah.
What were some of the names, you know?
I can't remember. It was actually back in June when we first got the robot.
Right.
And we scheduled because we just announced the name just last week on Thursday. We wanted to make sure Marita was there. We wanted to make sure everybody was able to be there to celebrate.
Right.
So, Yeah, so I'd have to go back through the box of names.
How did you feel like having the robot named after her?
She thought it was very funny.
Yeah,
so.
That's good. Better than the alternative.
Yeah.
Let's see. What can folks do at home to minimize their spread of germs? In their house.
And, yeah. You know. Yeah. So it's important. It's basic hygiene is really what it comes down to. So you want to make sure that if family members are sick, that you're cleaning a little bit more than normal. Again, same thing. Hand hygiene really goes a long way if you're taking care of a sick family member at home. There's certain infections that we take extra steps for, like somebody that might have C. diff, which is unfortunately becoming more and more common. So C. diff stands for, it's a type of bacteria called Clostridium difficile. And basically it causes awful stomach problems. So if someone you know in your family that's living in the same house with you has that infection, you want to try and, you know, use separate bathrooms. Clean the bathroom after you use it. Products that contain bleach you can buy over the counter at any supermarket.
Right.
So, again, it comes down to that basic hygiene, keeping a clean home, making sure you're getting your checkups with your physician, asking, do I need any vaccines today? We don't like shots. Nobody likes shots. You know, it's funny, there's a picture I see every year where it's a little cartoon and there's a guy sitting on the table at his doctor's office and he's covered in tattoos. And the doctor's saying to him, oh, you need this vaccine today. And the patient with all the tattoos says, oh, I don't like needles, though.
Yeah, okay.
So it reminds me every year. Nobody likes shots.
Right.
But nobody likes to get sick either. So if we just follow those basic rules, there's nothing fancy that needs to be done. It goes a long way in keeping you healthy. Eating right, making sure that you're getting all of the right nutrition, exercising helps to keep us healthy and prevent infections as well.
Right.
You know, if your immune system's strong, you take care of yourself, it's able to fight off those germs that we might come in contact with when we're outside of our home.
And I know, like when you were saying about shots, in my opinion, and I get shots pretty regularly. Mm-hmm. Well, I get blood taken pretty regularly, not shots, but
still a needle.
It's still a needle.
Yeah.
And it depends on who does it.
It does.
It really does.
Yep.
Sometimes I don't even feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And others I'm going, oh, my God. You know, but it, like I said, it depends on who's doing the shot, you know. And it's, you know, you would think that if they had the same training, everybody should be able to do it as painlessly as possible.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. You know, the thing is everybody's body, you have nerves everywhere. And so within centimeters, within close distances, you could touch a spot and it doesn't hurt, and you could touch another spot and it might hurt.
Right.
So there are guidelines about how to give shots, about where to go, what muscles to use. But sometimes, you know, you can't see a person's muscle when you're given a shot, and or when you're taking blood, sometimes they might hit an area that has a little bit of scarring from maybe the last time that you gave blood. So, yeah, I wish that we could make it painless, completely painless.
And then sometimes you have students.
Everybody has to learn.
And they ask, can you mind if no, I don't mind. Go ahead, you know, as I'm hanging onto the chair for dear life, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know. Like you said, they got to learn. So
yeah, I remember going through my nursing education, and believe it or not, it is just as scary for the person doing that shot for the first time as it is for the person getting that job from that person for the first time.
I can understand that.
Yeah, and we practice techniques, and you always go through all the training beforehand, but there's always going to be that first.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the first time, you know, and it's I can understand that.
Yeah.
We've got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Mental Health Show, 100 Medical Centers Hour, and we'll be right back.
Everybody over there,
get on up.
Everybody out there,
get into it.
Everybody right there,
get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115. See you there.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate pecans and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back. This is the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we've been very privileged today to have with us Lisa Razumovich. Did I say? I said it right,
you got
huh?
Got it right. That's, 2 for 2.
Yeah, it's 2 for 2. That's because you broke it down here for me. We were talking at the break about going to a doctor's office, and if the doctor prescribes or doesn't prescribe, you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah. So, you know, what comes to mind, of course, during this time of season is flu and other viral illnesses. And viruses can make people sick just like bacteria. But the thing about viruses is that an antibiotic will not make you feel better if you have a viral infection. So a lot of times people go to the doctors because they've been coughing for a week and they think that they have an infection that they want an antibiotic for. The doctor will listen to your lungs. They'll ask you how you're feeling, when your symptoms started. And the doctor might tell you, you do not have a bacterial infection. You do not need an antibiotic. And it's important to understand that the doctor's not giving you an antibiotic because it's not going to make you feel any better if you have a viral infection. Now, there are bacterial infections, pneumonia, that you will be prescribed an antibiotic for.
Right.
And if the doctor gives you an antibiotic, then you need to take it exactly as the doctor tells you. Because if you stop taking it once you feel better, there's a high chance that you're just going to get sick again with the same thing because it's not treated all the way.
Right.
You know, I've heard some people say, well, I started to feel better, so I stopped taking it to save it for the next time I was sick. And that's not how it works.
Yeah.
You need to take the full dose to make sure that you are completely healthy.
You know, I've been teaching what they call a family-to-family class for NAMI over the last many years. And it's a 12-week course, and it's free. Mm-hmm. But it's for families who have someone either in their family or work with someone or know someone or friends with someone who has a mental health issue. And one of the biggest things is, oh, my son slash daughter, whatever, come out of the hospital, and they were out 3 days, and they stopped taking their medication. And they were feeling great. And I said, mm-hmm. How many times have you gone to the doctor, and I use this all the time, and the doctor gives you a prescription for antibiotics, tells you to take it 3 times a day for 10 days or mm-hmm. 2 times a day for 10 days, mm-hmm. whatever the prescription is.
Yeah.
How many times have you taken it or you stopped after 5 days? Half the class raised their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why'd you stop? Because I felt better. Mm-hmm. Why do you think your loved ones stopped taking their medication when they came out of the hospital? Because they felt better.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they're not going to crash after not taking the medication.
Right.
I mean, it's not the same as, you know, you not taking it for your infection. It's a little different for them, but they're going to crash.
Yeah.
And the reason they feel good is because they don't associate the reason they're feeling good is because it's with for the medication.
Right.
And that's what people should realize, too, is when they take medication, that's why they're feeling good, because of the medication.
Yeah. It's so important. Every medication has to be taken a certain way.
Right.
Whether if the doctor tells you take one pill a day for 7 days or one at morning, one at night for 10 days, you have to follow exactly what the doctor tells you, because that's how that medicine works. And that will make sure, if you're taking an antibiotic for an infection, if you take that full dose, then that will make it so that you will have gotten rid of that infection and you will be healthy at the end. But when you stop taking the medication, if there was still any of that bacteria left in your system, even though there's less of it, it can become stronger.
And it can come back.
It can come back.
Right.
And it can cause those, you know, a lot of times reporters refer to them as super bugs.
Right.
Things like MRSA, those resistant bacteria. That's from people taking antibiotics inappropriately or taking them when they're not needed.
Right.
And we had mentioned earlier, and we were talking about that Clostridium difficile, C. diff infection.
Mm-hmm.
That infection is actually associated with antibiotic use. So if you don't need an antibiotic, don't take it. It's very important. There are other things that you can do to make yourself feel better if you have a viral infection. Things like if you're having a fever, take the Tylenol or take the Advil to get your fever down. Use humidifiers in your room so that you have that moist air.
Mm-hmm.
Take a cough medicine over the counter, DayQuil, NyQuil, any of those other cough medicines that work. Those medicines will help you feel better quicker. But know that most people that have a viral illness, they tend to cough and have a cough for about 3 weeks.
If not longer. Right.
But what you want to look for is if the cough is getting better, slowly getting better, but getting better, then you don't need an antibiotic.
Right.
But if that cough all of a sudden gets worse, or you're starting to feel better and now you're getting worse with the high fever, those are indications that it's time to then go see a doctor.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
How would someone, if they have questions about infection prevention or whatever, how would they get a hold of you?
So I work at Hunterdon Medical Center, and my direct phone number is 908-788-6169, and that'll get you right to me, right to my office. So I welcome any questions about whether it's the flu vaccine as flu season comes around the corner, or if you have a question about a loved one that has an infection and what do you need to do in the home if you missed us talking about that.
Right.
I can answer questions, or I can help you find the answer to the question. It's important that we don't surf the web, because there's a lot of stuff out there that's not true.
That's true.
But I do have loads of information, and I can direct you to the right websites to look for more information.
Okay. Would you give the phone number again one more time?
Yeah, absolutely. So my phone number is 908-788-6169, and that's my direct line right at Hunterdon Medical Center to my office.
Okay. And I know the medical center has a website. Do you, are you, if there's a section of the website that they can click on and get information about Hunterdon prevention?
Well, there is. If you go on Hunterdon Healthcare's website, and if you're clicking through, it will tell you different things that you can do to prevent infections. So there's always information about the flu vaccine. Also, if there's anything special going on in the community, whether there's a new infection that you have to do something different, we have information on there about that as well. So you just have to click on the website and find the link for patient safety, infection prevention, and you'll find me.
But it'd be better off if they called you direct, right?
Well, if they want, if they have a very specific question, sometimes right. It's just easier to call.
908-788-6169. 6169.
Yeah.
Lisa, I can't thank you enough. It's been a pleasure. I hope you come back again.
Yeah, I always come. I always enjoy coming back.
Yeah.
Every year.
It's interesting, you know, yeah. Because a lot of times people forget what they should or shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And it's always great to get a little nudge in the right direction, you know,
yeah.
As to what they should do, you know, as opposed to what they shouldn't do, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I really appreciate you coming on. I won't even try to say your last name again. No, I'm going to say it. Lisa Razumovich.
You got it. Three for three.
Three for three.
Three for three.
Thank you so much, Lisa. We
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. And we'll be here next week, same time, same station. And don't forget, if you need anything or want anything from the medical center, you can just call them. And Lisa's phone number is 908-788-6169. Okay, thank you so much, Lisa.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Rahimi now stands convicted of his crimes of terror after a fair and open trial by a jury of unanimous New Yorkers. He now faces a mandatory sentence of life in prison.
Federal Attorney June Kim speaking about Islamic terrorist Ahmad Khan Rahimi, found guilty of setting off a bomb in September of 2016 that injured dozens of people near Manhattan. The prosecutor said the win was a victory for the United States in the war against terror. Bo Bergdahl pleading guilty to desertion charges. The man President Obama released five Islamic terrorists to get back from the Taliban says he's guilty of desertion and misbehavior before the enemy. Bergdahl says he's pleading guilty because he doesn't believe he would receive a fair trial because of comments made by President Trump. Meanwhile, the president today at a cabinet meeting hinted very strongly at the possibility of welfare reform. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not from government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and for their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.com.